The Lord is good. What a simple statement. Everybody's looking for something profound tonight, but the battles in the Bible were not run by profound revelations of great mysteries, but the practical application of faith in a personal God, hallelujah, that was easy to get to know. Amen? David didn't have any problem with knowing God. Amen? Hallelujah. Abraham didn't have any problem. The only problem Abraham said, amen, is I just want to see you with my eye. Praise God. But as far as his walk with him, he didn't have any problem with that. It wasn't no great mystery. Amen. He showed over at the tent of meeting and God showed up to meet with him. Praise God. And God talked with him mouth to mouth. Praise God. Hallelujah. So all the mystery stuff and if you're looking for that, you're looking in the wrong place. Jesus is the most practical person there is in all of the Bible with Jesus Christ. You're tired and you're wore out. What's he going to do? Amen. I'm going to take you into a realm where you won't even think about the bunions on your feet. Oh, you will be so caught up in a glory cloud that the bunions on your feet won't hurt you anymore. Right? If you've got blisters on your feet from evangelism, those blisters won't. You'll get so caught up in the glory cloud that you won't even know you've got blisters. Here comes the cloud now. No, he gets a basin and a towel. Everybody say a basin and a towel. And what does he do? Does he take them up in a glory world where they can't feel all the discomforts of walking around in sandals down those dusty roads? No, he gets right down on his knees with a basin and towel, and he begins to wash and massage their feet himself. Praise God. I love a God that would do that. Amen. You realize he didn't quit being God when he did that. He didn't lose any of his divine attributes. Amen. He was as holy here as he was in heaven. Praise God. Amen. And yet he condescended to come down and wash the dirty feet of men. And he said, if you want joy, and some of you look like you could use some, amen, he said, go and do thou likewise. In other words, quit thinking about yourself and find somebody to minister to. Because when you start ministering this thing out to somebody else, the Holy Ghost is just going to pour through you. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. It's a practical thing, not a mystical thing. If you have to be caught up in the third heaven every other Sunday to keep the victory, then you don't know what victory is all about. Because true victory, amen, who is he that overcomes the world? He that stays in a glory cloud his entire life. No, amen, he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. How many people in here believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. Well, the Bible said you're a world overcomer. Praise God. For this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. He's repositioned you, translated you and I out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Praise God. That's a place you can have victory in every single day because God is good and God is gracious. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 62 where we stopped this morning. We're going to continue on tonight. And we're going to talk about intimacy with God once again. And we're going to try to move into this realm of healing based on that intimacy tonight. And I want you to just come along with me because these broadcasts, this service may or may not, depending on how the Lord leads. And we leave that entirely in the hands of our media minister. This may end up. Many sermons from these services are ending up for 1 hour every Sunday on WMAF radio in Madison. And they're going from Madison to the nations of the world. How do you know that? Because of the radio broadcast and the encouragement to download sermons. If people would like to come and visit us and do that, we have 21 sermons that were downloaded. After that, just 2 weeks of requesting, 21, 22, 23, 24, over 20, amen, in the UK, Mother's Day, amen. That means this service that you're hearing, services we're in here tonight, are being downloaded in the United Kingdom. And six of them were from the Let's Talk About Jesus broadcast, our 30-minute broadcast that were downloaded in the UK. That's just one area that we know is downloading from our website. So we know that the gospel is going way beyond these walls out of this little place, places where we could never take it. And not because of our human effort, but because of God's Spirit. Amen. Psalm 107 and verse 20 has been our foundation for our media ministry, and I introduced myself for the first time. I don't know if you've played that yet, but for the first time on radio, I introduced myself. I started to say once again, this is Pastor Robert Venable. Welcome to Let's Talk About this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. This is Pastor Robert Venable. But this time, before I could say that, I said, I'm going to have to redefine myself. I said, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. Because of the media outreach, I have to identify with an evangelistic anointing. There's no way that, because this radio broadcast is out of North Florida to the United States and to the nations of the world. No one probably is going to end up here because of that broadcast. This is not a local broadcast in Tampa to bless a local church in Tampa. This is something to reach souls for Jesus, encourage Christians, instruct Christians, and draw people to Christ wherever God decides to send it. Amen. And the same way with the website. So this is an evangelistic outreach of this little ministry. Now, normally you would think we had to get much bigger and more influential to be evangelistically used. And the Holy Spirit doesn't mind. It makes no difference to God. Everybody say it don't matter to God. The Bible said it makes no difference to God. Say it makes no difference to God. To save by many or by few. God said, don't matter to me. You claim the covenant, I'm going to move by spirit. Can you say amen? And the greatest story in there, you've heard it a million times, you need to hear it probably 100,000 more, and that's Jonathan and his armor bearer. Amen. Two Hebrews that claimed the covenant, and God routed a million-man army with 300 chariots to boot. Everybody say a million men and 300 chariots were chased by two men who claim God's covenant. Because it makes no difference to God to save by many or by few. Praise God. So if we're going to limit God because of our size, then we're going to miss what he's telling us tonight. Well, I refuse to do that. I believe we're going to have, before this is over, an international ministry, and we're going to know that it's already becoming international. But I believe it's going to grow as an international ministry. And people are going to be just absolutely blown away when they fly from the United Kingdom to be in a church service with us. And they come looking for a church with 5,000, 10,000 people in it, and they come here and say, this cannot be. This can't be. And then that night, I'm going to preach on the poor boy's lunch. Amen. What God breaks and blesses and feeds multitudes with sometimes astounds people. Amen. I don't believe everybody there knew that all that came from that little poor boy's brown bag that he brought to Jesus. Can you say amen? But they needed to find that out and to make the discovery that if you have it in your heart to touch lives for Jesus Christ, there's no limit to what God may do through your life. We just saw a movie called Faith Like Potatoes. If you get a chance, check it out. It's great. And then it shows the real guy. I love the documentaries after this. And it shows the real guy. And he just has a farmhouse over in Africa. He has no great headquarters, and yet God has used him so mightily for his kingdom, his honor, and his glory. It encouraged me to see something big coming out of something little. Because this is not a scripture, but it's a biblical statement. Little is much when God is in it. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. I tell you, little is much when God is in it. And big is little when God isn't in it. Big can't get much done if God isn't in it. So it don't matter to God. He said, if it matters to you, you will limit me. But if you're looking to me, amen, to bless your efforts, it doesn't matter to me whether you're big or small. Amen. That's why the mighty revival is taking place in South Vietnam tonight, where miracles that rival anything, that replicate everything that happened in the book of Acts, according to the reports that came out of South Vietnam, in home prayer meetings of 50 or less, the mightier miracles than in many crusades are taking place in South Vietnam. Verifiable miracles. I mean, the real stuff. How many know there's a real stuff? Where it really happens, praise God. 6 weeks later, you're still healed. You're still delivered. You're still saved. You're still set free, praise God. Hallelujah. God is so gracious. Here's the deal tonight. The anointings of men and women, because God anoints people, there's always a danger of people enshrining the anointed ones instead of Jesus or the Father. There's always that danger. There's a danger of being lifted up. Paul was so anointed, amen, of the Lord, had so many revelations. The Bible said there was given to him an emissary from Satan to buffet him, lest he be lifted up because of his many revelations. Amen. His flesh, like your flesh and my flesh, has a real problem when everyone puts us on a pedestal. It's hard to handle, amen, that kind of exaltation. And Paul was put on, they tried to do it at Mars Hill. He preached with such an anointing at Mars Hill. Amen. You know what they said after his sermon? And I don't know what kind of gifts or anointings or confirmations God gave to his sermon, but I know how they perceived him. Here's what they said. The gods have come down unto us in the form of men. And I know what Paul did immediately. He rent his garment. He showed them his flesh. Amen. And he told them to not honor him, but not in the sense of deifying or worshiping, but to honor God. Can you say amen? The one true living God. And he preached Christ to them. It's hard to handle, amen, for the flesh to handle prosperity. The Bible said, I'm going to bring you into a land that flows with milk and honey. And then the first thing he did was put up red flags. It's amazing that you're going into this wonderfully blessed land, going to have a wonderfully blessed life over in Canaan. And God puts up the red flags and the warnings. He begins to move them back and forth. Why? Because he said, beware lest you are eaten and you are full. In other words, all of this bounty, you're now consuming that. Amen. You're digging gold, you're digging ore. Iron ore was very precious. You're digging ore out of those fields. Your crops are getting beautiful rains. They're getting bumper crops coming in. You're living in such victory and the lap of luxury. Beware. At that moment, you need to take note, lest you forget the Lord your God, amen, in the keeping of his commandments, and you begin to say, mine hand hath gotten me these things. Now, if you say, my faith has gotten me them things, you're real close to the same thing. Your faith needs to acknowledge that God is the one that blesses, amen. Your, not your great faith, but your great God. Can you say amen? If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'd say to the mountain, be thou removed. Amen. It's not the greatness of your faith that has acted on that mountain, but the greatness of the God that you've trusted in. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm going to tell you something that may shock you. It doesn't matter whether it does. I like to shock people, if I can sometimes, into looking deeper into Scripture. But faith doesn't move mountains. Thank you for the hearty amen. God moves mountains. Amen. If faith can move mountains, then faith is an individual force within you that you manipulate according to your will and desire, and that's not what faith is. Amen. Hallelujah. Faith is trusting God exclusively and giving God all the honor and all the glory forever. Answer. The mountain that stands before you will become as a plain because your great faith acts on the mountain. No, not by might nor power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. God is the one who moves mountains. Make no mistake about it tonight. I'm glad it is God and not me, because I don't have to have great faith to see mountains move. I just have to put my faith in a great God. Amen? Amen. Everybody say, in a great God. Do you have a great God tonight?
Yes.
Is he a mountain mover? Praise God. Hallelujah. Then if you had faith as a what?
Grain
of mustard. See, well, when the mountain moves, you can't boast in your faith then if that kind of faith moves it. Amen. But you can boast in your God that you have put your trust in. Praise God. The reason I doubt not in my heart that a mountain will move is when I discover that that mountain is in the way of God's eternal purpose, and I bow to his purpose and his will. I know that he's going to act on that. And I don't doubt in my heart that the mountain will have to move, because it's not might or power. I don't have to have the resources. Amen. The mountain in the way of this ministry going beyond these walls or getting anywhere, amen, has been removed by the media, by simply radio ministry, has taken it way beyond anything we could imagine. Praise God, is doing it as we are here tonight. And I'm so grateful for what the Lord has done. I believe God is blessing WMAF tonight just to get his word to nations that he wants to take it to and people he wants to send it to. Amen. Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. Now the danger tonight is looking at the anointing on the person instead of God. Shifting that. When Moses died, Satan wanted his body. He wanted God to leave him alone. Let them find his body. Let them bury him. Let them enshrine him. Let them put up some kind of memorial to Moses, because he was the anointed man that led them out of bondage. We have this tendency to worship the servant of the Lord instead of the Lord of the servant. We have a tendency to even exalt the Word of God above the God of the Word. And we have people that can quote Scripture and they really believe the Bible, and we should. But we should get to know the God who wrote the book. Not just the book that he wrote. Our familiarity with the book that he wrote is not the same as familiarity with him. Amen? He wants intimacy with you. We talked about the man this morning that could quote the whole book of John's gospel verbatim, but didn't know Christ as his personal Savior. What a tragedy it would be to be able to quote from your head all that is written in the book of John and not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Can you say amen? And some people exalt the word to that degree. Some people exalt prayer above Jesus. It's the prayer itself. It's the act of praying becomes more important than seeking God. Can you say, man? It's just prayer. Some people use faith inordinately. Amen. They just want to build and they talk of their great faith. Did you know the people that only two people Jesus ever said had great faith in all of the New Testament? Only two. That he used the exact term great faith. And they were the most humbly dependent people you would ever meet. Amen. Only two in the entire New Testament. It'd be good for homework. I always say things and people look at me like a calf at a new gate. Can you say amen? I want to give you homework. I want you to get down in the book. Amen. I know you got tapes, but I don't base what I believe on anybody's tapes. You hear me tonight? Amen. There's a book here that I check everybody out by. Final authority is not how many people follow the preacher, but whether it's in line with the word of God. Let God be true in every man. Everybody say every man. Even that guy. Everybody say even that guy. Everybody say even that gal. So it doesn't matter if it's a guy or gal or how many people follow them. The final authority is the word of God. Hallelujah. I'm just not so impressed by all the hoopla that we're making over people when we need to be intimate with God. We need to be close to God. We need to know God for ourselves. Amen? That's why Paul said, when I leave the church that I preach at, I'm going to bring you something to this end so that when I go, you might be established. Say it with me, established. And that means in the actual Greek to be set at one with. Set at one with Paul? No. Set at one with who? There's only one to be set at one with. Amen? In the Bible. And that's who? With God himself. I and my Father are one. Amen? And the prayer of Jesus was what? It's a prayer for intimacy. He said, I and my Father are one. And Father, here's what I want. John 17. This is what I want. This is the Lord's Prayer. Literally the Lord's Prayer. If you want to get the Lord's Prayer before he left this planet in behalf of not only those disciples of that day, but for every succeeding generation of believers, you go to John 17. And he said, he began to pray to the Father, and he said, Father, you know how I'm in you, and you're in me, and we're one. He said, I pray for these that would believe, that they may be one in us, just like I'm in you, and you're in me. That's a prayer for intimacy. Can you say amen? And it's the intimacy that is lost when we zero in on the power or the person. Everybody say either the power or the person. What God wants is people to learn to come to him and to trust in him and to know him. Amen. How many know the preacher can't bring revival? Amen. Only God can send it. How many know when the preacher leaves that's so anointed, revival is not supposed to go with him or her? Right. Amen. Amen. True revival is not about an anointing on a preacher, but people opening their hearts to the Holy Spirit and opening their hearts to the Lordship of Jesus. Amen. Opening their hearts to the God of the universe and letting him truly, amen, begin to move within their hearts and within their lives. Praise God. I love the mighty revival in Wales because it was based on a personal hunger for God himself and not on an anointing that someone brought to them. And when they called for the preacher to come who would lead that revival, the revival was already begun in the hearts of the people before he even arrived. Can you say, man? They had opened their heart to God. Some of those coal miners in Wales that worked down in the coal mines, and this was way back at the turn of the century before they had the modern machinery, they had to go in there with picks, and they had to go in with shovels, and they had to go in those mines and literally, physically, cut out all of that coal and load it and bring it to the surface. Amen. And there were coal miners that were fasting. I can't imagine going into a place like that with a pick and shovel to work 10 or 12 hours a day, amen, and not eating anything. They had to be supernaturally sustained to do that. That God had to help them because he saw it was their heart to see a move of God and to see a revival. But when they made that kind of commitment to see God move, they sought God with their whole heart. Can you say amen? God began to move upon those people. And I love the reports and some of the that we've heard about and read about, that people who were there and saw that mighty authentic revival take place, where people were literally running, looking for the gospel, looking for someone to tell them about Jesus. People in bars were just had ran out of the bars and went looking for God. Hallelujah. Amen. What a revival. The guy they asked to come and preach for them, I forget his name, but when he led that revival in Wales, and when he arrived late, maybe 10 o'clock at night because he was delayed, the man who met him, amen, he told him, he said, "Well, it's so late, I suppose that tomorrow we will begin the meetings." And the guy says, "Oh, no." He said, "I suppose everyone's gone home. It's so late. We'll start the meetings tomorrow, I assume." He said, "Oh, no, sir. No, sir. They're waiting at the church. It's 10 o'clock at night. They don't even know if he's going to get there, when he's going to get there, but they're all assembled, and they're waiting. Little church is full. People are standing on the outside. It's 10 o'clock at night, in the dead of the night. Amen. And this guy comes walking up a hill to that church, and they're waiting to hear the word of God because God is already drawing their hungry hearts to himself. Can you say amen? That's hunger and thirst for righteousness. And what happens when people are hungry and thirsty for what? Thirsty for just a touch from God of righteousness. What happens when they're hungry for righteousness? Does anybody here know? They'll be filled with what? The Holy Spirit? No. Subject of that is not the Holy Spirit. The subject of that is righteousness. Seek the Lord till he come and rain what on you? The Holy Ghost? No, righteousness. Can you say amen? Everybody say righteousness. If you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you never understand, God wants you to be right with him. Amen. And you try to play both sides, the power of God on one side and let the flesh rule on the other side, you'll never know. God's power will be stymied within you, stifled within you. But if you embrace righteousness and the Holy Spirit is within you, he won't be quenched and he won't be grieved. Praise God. And we have yet to see, amen, in full measure what an unquenched, ungrieved Holy Ghost can do through a life surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Everybody say glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah. We got somewhere to go, don't we? And something to see. Hallelujah. Well, just thought I'd run that by you. If you don't want that close fellowship with God, if you're not seeking the Lord till he come and rain righteousness. I love the Song of Solomon because it's romantic. It captures the entire Bible. It captures the intimacy that God wants with his church and with his people. Amen? When Paul talks about the husband and wife relationship, the intimacy, the romance between a husband and wife, the deep commitments of love to one another. He's right in the middle of saying, husbands, love your wives, and wives, love your husbands. Amen. And he just can't keep going and talking about the husband-wife relationship without relating it directly to Christ and the church. He just can't. Amen. He's talking about that relationship. And the reason I guess I'm a little bit leaning toward that is because tomorrow is my wife and I's wedding anniversary. We're going to celebrate 46 years. I got out my calculator. I did the math. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 46 years. I didn't know if it's 46 or 47. Amen. But since I have went home, got out the calculator. No, ma'am. It feels like we were married yesterday. And we are going on our honeymoon tomorrow. Hallelujah. Slick, ain't I? That's why we've been married all of these years. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's romantic. The Bible's a book of romance. I always tell people, there's not a lot of young people here tonight. I think there's only one. She's the youngest one here, so she's got to be our young people here tonight. Well, I'll tell it to her to get her real interested. Amen. There's a book in the Bible that is PG-13. Amen. Anytime you tell them that, they want to read that thing. Amen. You know what book it is? Song of Solomon. Amen. He's talking intimate stuff there. Amen. I almost blush just to quote some of it. I mean, there's some intimate stuff there. I mean, there's some blushing intimate, you know, stuff there in the Song of Solomon. And Paul is talking about the intimacy between men and women in a real godly marriage, a marriage filled with passion, not just, you know, we're stuck with each other because Jesus said we can't leave. No, he wants you to have a real relationship. Can you say, man? And have intimacy. He wants you to enjoy that. Live joyfully with the wife of thy youth. And a lot of marriages don't work and a lot of relationships break down. But when they work like they're supposed to work, amen, even through that relationship, we're glimpsing something very personal and practical about what Christ wants with his church. The two become one flesh in a marriage relationship. And when it's spiritually correct with the Lord, we become one with him and the Father just like he's one with us. Amen? They're no more two, but they become one. There's in spiritual union. And I think the one thing that's missing in so many marriages is that we do not come to be spiritually united. We just come to be legally and even biblically married, but not in the sense of a spiritual union. We don't become one spiritually. And that's why we're not truly united like God wants us to be united. But he wants us to be united that way. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And just pray if you're here with a spouse that isn't spiritually united with you, keep praying to that end, that you can be spiritually united as one. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, moving right along, the Song of Solomon said, he brought me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. Praise God. This is a love story. And this is a passionate love. In fact, in the Song of Solomon, the prospective bride that is espoused says, I am sick with love. What does that mean? It means that it is unbearable when I'm not around him. It is unbearable to be apart from him. The only time I find relief, amen, is when I'm in his presence. Amen. And when he was away from me just for a little period of time, what happened? She went seeking him. Oh, friend, there's healing in this. There's deliverance in this. There's help in this. There's everything you need in this. But it's all about seeking him, not seeking healing. It's not just building your faith for healing. It's understanding that seeking the healer is where healing comes from. I guarantee you, if you have a relationship with the healer, you don't need a whole big old faith to be healed. Can you say amen? Because you have a relationship with the healer. And the healer isn't the preacher. The prayer of faith saves the sick, but who raises them up? Who raises them up? Say it with me. Who raises them up? The Lord raises them up. Apart from him, what can we do? Nothing. So who gets the glory every time anything great like that happens? God gets the glory. Why did Satan contend with God over the body of Moses? The Bible said he contended with God. Let him alone. Don't you bury him. Just leave him alone and let the people. Now, Satan couldn't touch that body. Amen. As a spiritual entity. He couldn't do anything to that dead body. He just wanted God to leave Moses dead wherever that he dropped so that the people could find the body. The people could take the body back. The people could build this big shrine unto Moses. And the people could start coming there, amen, in so-called honor to Moses and end up giving honor not unto the God whose hand was on Moses, but unto the man that led them out. Amen. And forget the hand of the Lord that brought them up out of the land of Egypt. The hand of who? The hand of the Lord. Did he have an instrument in his hand? Yes. Is it to be honored? Yes. But to give honor where honor is due. I mean, Moses is not the one that we are to give all of that honor to. It is to the Lord that anointed. He even said, I can't speak. You're picking the wrong man. You got it all wrong. Amen. Who am I going to say sent me? How is he going to listen to me? Can you say amen? He wasn't a great man in the sense of that kind of greatness, but he had the hand of the Lord upon him. God chooses instruments that people will understand clearly that it is God and not the man, God and not the woman. Amen. That is doing the work. So when the work is done, God gets the glory. God doesn't want you focused on power. God doesn't want you focused on faith. God wants you focused on him, and you'll have power and faith growing within you. Can you say amen? Amen. One of the lost arts in the Church of Jesus Christ today is seeking the Lord. The Bible said to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. Amen. You don't have to love God to seek healing. How many know you don't have to love God to seek healing? When I'm sick, I want to be healed. Amen. And if I find some way to receive that healing, then I'm happy because I received what I needed in my life. But seeking the Lord requires something beyond just the need for comfort and convenience. Amen? It means that you acknowledge spiritually that you have a need that is greater than even your physical body and your physical needs. Amen? And that is that you are in spiritual communion and union with Christ himself. The early church knew that. Amen? And God always desired that. He wanted them to seek him. To seek him, seek him, seek him. David said, thou sayest unto me to seek thy face, and I said, thy face will I seek. One thing have I desired, that will I seek after, to inquire at your temple and to behold your beauty. Can you say amen? And then because he had that kind of attitude toward the Lord, what did he say? He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. These are all the benefits of seeking God. Amen. And being right with God through that seeking of God. Listen, he said, who forgives all thy iniquities, who heals all of thy diseases. Amen. Can you say amen? Was he seeking healing to get that? No, he's seeking God to get that. Amen. And the thing about it is, not only did he get healed, but he had that relationship with God that God wanted more than anything else with his servants and with his people. Amen. We started the story this morning of the Assyrian captain with leprosy who went down in the, who had the Jewish young lady who is just a servant in his house, and he goes down to the prophet's door. He has an idea of how healing is going to come. Amen. He must have got that idea somewhere. How does healing come? How is it supposed to come to him? Amen. Well, the man of God is going to come to the door, and because he is the anointed, appointed one, he, the man of God, is going to wave his hand over his head. Kind of close to laying on of hands, or whatever you want to call it. And the healing is going to come, and I got my healing, and I'm going to go home healed. And I can tip my hat to God and to him and to anyone who needs a tip of the hat. But you see, God, in order to heal him, wanted to do something within him. Amen. Yes. And God wanted to make him whole. God didn't want to. That's God right. Never just wants to That's heal right. anybody. That's Amen. Right. God never just wants to heal you. He wants to make you whole.
Yes.
And making you whole means that more than just your body receives something. Your spirit and soul are more important to God. You're going to drop this. How many know you're going to drop this body someday?
Amen.
You're going to drop it. Everybody say, this bone bag that my soul lives in. How many know that's what your body is? It's a bone bag. It's a container for your soul. It's a bone bag. You take your soul out, it ain't nothing to look at. Amen? I have never seen a beautiful cadaver. May look nice to you with all that makeup on it, but I'm telling you, it don't look very good to me. Take your spirit out. The life is gone. It's a bone bag. And the soul is gone. It's just a bag, or bone bag. It's just a container for the soul. Amen? God is interested in making people whole. He healed 10 lepers. Amen? But only one came back and recognized him as Lord and gave thanks to him as Lord. Amen? And when he did that, he said, I healed 10. Amen? But only one has come back to give thanks. Amen? And he told him, go thy way, thy faith has got you healed of leprosy. No, your faith has made you whole. The Lord God sanctify you wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Spirit. Say it with me. Spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Spirit, soul, and body. A lot of people are just after the body part of that. They want their physical felt needs met, but they're not concerned about the cry of their soul, the need of a spiritual relationship with God that is so satisfying. Amen. The greatest boon against temptation is being so spiritually fulfilled by God that the flesh cannot, amen, tempt you to go after something less than what he's given you spiritually, amen, in terms of fulfillment. Why in the world would I leave a healthy marriage and a happy relationship with my wife to commit some stupid sin, amen, for some little moment of sinful pleasure, amen, for the flesh? Why would I do that if I'm in right relationship with her and we are fulfilling one another? Amen? Why would I do that? That's why the Bible said you don't have power if you're a married person over your own body. If you ever use sex as a weapon, you're unbiblical.
Amen.
If you ever use it as a punishment, the withholding of as a punishment, you're unbiblical.
Amen.
We got the men are amening. All I hear is male voices. You're unbiblical. It works both ways. For the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Boy, we just... You know, I can always tell when we stepped in somewhere, you know, not in something, but stepped somewhere, amen, where it, because it gets kind of weird in here. You get these weird vibes coming from people. Here we are talking about faith and intimacy with God. We got into intimacy and we mentioned that, and suddenly people get, you know, kind of quiet and crazy because we touched over on that sacred cow, amen, area. It's unbiblical. And the wife hath not power over her body, but the husband. We're supposed to be so loving that we're giving to one another. It's not all about when I'm in the mood. It's about giving. If you only give when you're in the mood, you're not going to give very often of anything. Yourself, your substance. What if we just gave offerings when we were in the mood? I'm just not in the mood to give. And there's no systematic giving in the church. Churches would crumble all over America because Christians wouldn't be in the mood. Amen. We have to make deeper commitments than moods that come and go.
Amen.
And we need those commitments to one another.
Amen.
The Bible's about intimacy, real intimacy, and Paul talks about that with unabashedly. And the Song of Solomon talks about it unabashedly. Can you say amen? When there is a separation between this espoused one and her bridegroom, amen, she said, I'm sick with love. I can't stand to be apart from him. Amen. You say, well, that's just craziness. No, that's real love. That's passionate love. Can you say amen? She said, so when I'm separated from him, I went looking for him. And I said, have you seen to the watchman on the walls? Have you seen? You're watching. You see what moves in and out of this city. Have you seen my beloved? And they said, we haven't seen him. And he goes on and she finds a group of women and said, daughters of Jerusalem, have you seen my beloved? And they said, we haven't seen him either. Well, now it's time to say, you know, he's somewhere. He's all going to be okay. Just go on back home. You know, you've been to church on Sunday morning. You sang the songs. Just go on to the house now and do whatever you do. Amen. Believe God for all the felt needs that you have and the physical needs that you have. There's no need to seek him out. Why should you go any further? You got healed. You got your financial needs met. Why should you go any further than that? There's a whole church that had it all in that area. It's called Laodicea. You know what their testimony was? I'm rich and increased with goods. I have need of nothing. And who's at the door? Jesus. What does he want with them? He wants intimacy. To sup with them and them with him. They got what they wanted from him, so they didn't need him. That's the shift in the paradigm to where we used our faith to get all of our felt, physical, immediate needs met. What do we need further than that? What does God want of us? And what do I need more of him? You need to understand that nothing you hold physically or materially can take the place of what you need to possess spiritually. Real fulfillment don't come in how big a car you have, how much money you've got in the bank, or how healthy your body is. Real fulfillment comes in your walk with God. He told the woman at the well, what I have, if you come to this well for your physical felt needs, you're going to thirst again. But if you knew who it was that told you to give me here to drink, you would ask of me and I would give you what? Living water. And listen to this. You would never thirst again. Can you say amen? Never. Say it with me. Never thirst again. Praise God. Say it with me. Never thirst again. He talked in terms of such intimacy and relationship. He said, my body is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. He that eats of my body, drinks of my blood. Is that some kind of cannibalistic? No, no. And people didn't understand it. When he said that and he talked about intimacy and spiritual relationships on that level, many turned and walked with him no more. And his disciples wasn't too happy to hear it. Because he said, if you don't eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. It's intimacy or nothing. You can't have this religious form relationship with me. Because you're portraying to the world, amen, just the forms and formalities of religion and a God who just dispenses your felt material needs. You're not telling them about the fact that God wants to walk with them. God wants to dwell within them, indwell them. And he wants an intimacy that so satisfies them that nothing in the world can take his place. Amen? But they said, what do we need? We got all we wanted from God. So who's this knocking at the door wanting to have what? To sup with us and us with him? Listen, I just paid off all my debts. I'm healed. I'm healthy. I'm having the time of my life. I'm getting ready to take a cruise. What good is that? The world can do that. They do it all the time. Amen? The world gets blessed. The world, did you know about 7 of the richest people in the world have taken their own life in the last several months. About 7 of some of the richest people in the world have committed suicide in the last several months. And it didn't make big headlines when a guy that was part of a big corporation that the economic downturn has went bust. And did you know something? When they get down to their last million, they feel like they are in a deep depression. They get down to a million. Honey, if I got up to a million. I mean, I'm not making fun of these guys, but you can see what this has become. They were so identified with their wealth. You take that wealth from them, they don't have an identification outside of the world and the things that it offers. They have no spiritual connection. They don't understand. Can you say amen? Paul said, I know how to abound. I know how to be blessed of God exceedingly and not be lifted up in pride. I know how to balance my life even in times of blessing. But I also know how to be abased. I know how to handle it when everything is stripped from me and I'm put in house arrest and threatened with death. And he said, I've learned in whatever state I'm in, therewith to be something that these people don't have if they don't have their wealth. C-O-N-T-E-N-T. Content. When you get discontent over the blessing or the wealth of another. Amen. Did you know there were saints in Caesar's house? They could only be there as servants. And yet they were there and they were the saints of God. But they were servants in Caesar's house. Praise God. Listen to me. God wants his church to begin to seek him again. We need to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness upon us. Praise God. Paul said, we brought nothing into this world. Surprise, surprise. We can't take anything out. I've conducted over 100 funerals in over 35 years of ministry, hundreds probably, if we did a real count of all of them. I have never seen a hearse with a U-Haul in, never in all pulling the person's stuff out to the cemetery. I did hear of the lady who wanted to be buried in her Cadillac. She loved it so much. She was dying and didn't get to drive it because she was diagnosed with a devastating disease, and they buried the Cadillac. Dug out a hole with a backhoe, put the coffin in the Cadillac, and buried the whole 9 yards. Took up about 4 grave length spots. Incredible. And yet, as incredible as that sounds, people that lost their identity when they lost their fortunes in the stock market or in their industry, that went out and killed themselves. One man hung himself in Germany. Another man in another place did this. Another did that. But about 6 or 7, recently, in the past several months, have taken their life. One man, when Enron, before it even started, before the domino effect began, when Enron went under, he drove his vehicle, and he has this beautiful home. He has a wife. He has children. He's in his mid-40s. I'm sure that he wasn't broke as we define broke. I define broke, amen, as overdrawing at the bank. That's when you're broke. Can you say amen? If you've got $10 in there, you're okay. Can you say amen? You're okay. Amen. It's a meal barrel that doesn't go empty. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not the full and running over one. It's the one that God blesses to never go empty. Somehow you get through, don't you? And you say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I feel so rich when I don't overdraw. How about that? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't God good? He takes care of his people. Praise God. But this guy with what he probably could have sold that house. That $1.5 million home or that $2.8 million home, and he could have probably bought himself a mere $500 house in a little gated community, a little puny house. Amen? A little puny $500,000 house. But the thought of living in a little puny $500,000 house after he was used to this kind of opulence because he was so tied into the material and the physical was unthinkable to him. He would lose his status. He drove to an intersection not too far from his home, stopped at a red light, reached and got a revolver out of his glove compartment and shot himself and was found there with the engine running. He's sitting there dead in his car. Why did he do that? Because everything was tied into the physical and the material. And there was nothing in him spiritually to satisfy him. If you take the physical material from him, there's nothing left. That's why Satan came to deal with God over all humanity. Amen. The angels are ascending and descending. Do you know there's a corridor between heaven and earth, and angels are constantly ascending? God, everybody say, God is involved in the affairs of men and women on this earth. Amen. Jacob laid his head on a rock pillow. Praise God. Amen. But Jacob saw a corridor between heaven. We call it Jacob's ladder, but believe me, it wasn't like the one in my pickup truck. Can you say amen? They ascended and they descended. And he said angels are always interacting between heaven and earth. Praise. Isn't that a good revelation to think about tonight? That angels are interacting between heaven and earth. Amen. And coming up unauthorized. Amen. No one stopped him, but somehow he came into the presence of God, this angel that's banned from heaven. And Satan said, what are you doing here? By the way, devil is the word diablos. And it means an accuser, a maligner. Amen. What did he want to do? He wanted to malign a man after God's own heart by the name of Job. He wanted to destroy. He wanted to point out that people won't serve you if they don't get their immediate felt physical material needs met, they're in it for what they get from you. They don't care about you at all. And said, what are you doing here? Well, he came to accuse Job. And really, he came to accuse all mankind. Poor Job just happened to be so good and so righteous and so right with God that God decided to use him as an example. Hey, don't get nervous. None of you are that good or that righteous. Can you say amen? How do you know? Because God called him a perfect man. Now, not sinless perfection, but in his heart attitude. Everybody say his heart attitude. No one in action can be sinlessly perfect. If they could, Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. So it had to be in his heart attitude. You can't have a perfectly willing heart even if you have problems with your flesh. Can you say amen? How many know that there's a conflict between flesh and spirit? But that perfection can come forth in your spirit. But you will always have a problem with your flesh. Everybody say, I'll always have a problem with my flesh. Now, if you don't say that, we want you to get in the altar right now. We don't even wait to the end of the service. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to me. Amen. He says, man will not serve you for naught. None of them. None of those covenant people. None of those people who say they love you. None of those people, amen, that you bless so abundantly. They won't serve you for nothing. You know what? For naught means for nothing. If there's not anything in it for them, physically, immediately, materially, they won't serve you. And there was a man down there that had the perfect attitude in his heart. And Paul said, have you considered my servant Job a perfect man? I've heard people preach on Job and said he needed their tapes, implied that he needed their tapes. Honey, Job didn't need your tapes. If you can go through what he lost and keep the faith, you don't need nobody's tapes on faith. God called him perfect. Other people shouldn't call him imperfect. Amen. Amen? Amen? I don't like it when modern day preachers call the people that God highly exalted and pointed out, tried to say that they can tell them something. Heard a preacher say the other day that thousands followed. Thousands on, hundreds of thousands have followed. And he was talking about Paul going through all those trials and keeping victory and all that. He said, Paul didn't have to do that if he'd used his faith. And I thought, wait a minute, he wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. God honored him to that degree. Amen. And you're going to question his faith. And then he said, but different strokes for different folks. In other words, he went through it, but I'm going to use my faith so I don't have to go through it. And I thought, what baloney. Oh, you know, every time I hear preaching like that, I want some whole wheat bread and some mustard. Amen, because that's baloney. Everybody say that's baloney. That is absolute baloney. Amen. Just give me some mustard. They provide the bologna for me. Can you say amen? And still, the blind lead the blind. It don't matter how many people follow a blind man. That don't give a blind man credibility. Can you say amen? If he goes in the ditch, they go in the ditch with him. It doesn't qualify anybody how many people follow them. Amen. If 100,000 people showed up next Sunday, it wouldn't qualify me. Amen. If five of you show up, it ain't going to disqualify me. This right here is what we go by. Amen. Can you say amen? Everybody say, this is what we go by. This is what we go by. This is what we go by. That's why the gospel is being downloaded in the UK tonight. That's why God is taking it somewhere. Hallelujah, because we're sticking with his word. Amen, and we're magnifying his son. Hallelujah, we're praising his name and spreading his fame. Somebody give God praise tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So what did God say? He said, have you considered my servant Job a perfect man? He said, yeah, I know about Job, and I know about your blessings in his life, but you take down the hedge. Everybody say, thank God for the hedge. Glory to God. How many know the devil is on God's leash? Praise God. Hallelujah. There is a hedge. There is a wall of righteousness around God's people. Praise God. Hallelujah. Angels encamp around the righteous to what? To deliver them. There's an enemy that wants us dead, but there's a God who defends us. Praise God. Hallelujah. And even the enemy can't touch us without God's permission. If we don't give place to him, he can't take ground from us. That hedge represented God's protective love and grace around Job's life. Praise God. Satan said, let me at him. Let me at him. And you'll see, take that hedge down and let me at him and he will curse you. If he don't get his felt needs met, if he don't get the material, physical needs met in his life, he won't have anything to do with you. That's all he cares about you for. And God said, You can touch everything he's got, but you can't kill him. Everything else you can touch. When you say, I'm going through a trial and I'm like Job, you're not. He did that one time. He don't need you for another example. Job was the example that God used, and that's the final one. And Job and you should be thankful that there's no more. Can you say, man, no more of that? No more. Everybody say, no more of that. Hallelujah. God proved his point. He proved it with Job. Thank God he proved it with Job. I want such a heart, but I'm really glad tonight that he did it. He used Job for the example. I'm glad he didn't wait to our generation. How about you? Amen. I want that perfect heart. I want it developed. I believe it's being developed, but I'm telling you something tonight. I'm really glad he used Job for an example. When that hedge came down and Satan got at him, someone came running to tell him. A runner came, all excited. Amen. Like Patty used to be when something went wrong. I love her to pieces, but boy, could she get excited. Brother Bimble, they've canceled our room. They've canceled our room. They can't anymore. We're here. Amen. But they canceled our room. What are we going to do? Well, we'll just trust the Lord. Well, we got to do, you know, and after a while, it all worked out, and God got the glory and the victory, and I love her to pieces. That's all right if she hears this. She knows she's like she is, and we're all like, we got, you know, she just gets excited. She's excited. A runner came all excited, amen, and said, listen, your crops have just been all destroyed. And while he was yet speaking, he didn't have time to recover from that hit that took everything out of him. Another runner comes and says, by the way, all of your sheep are gone. All of your camels are gone. All of your stock is gone too. And while he was yet speaking, another runner comes running with bad news and said, there's been a whirlwind that came, amen, and it caused the house to fall in on all of your children, and every one of them are dead. Your riches is gone, your wealth is gone, your children is gone. And it all happened, amen, in a compressed amount of time. There wasn't time to recover from one thing before something. This didn't happen over a lifetime of events. This happened in a day. And Job is rocked. And not only did that rock him, but now his friend said, what is wrong between you and God? What have you done wrong? Eliphaz says, I can't hold my peace any longer. You've encouraged others. Now it touches you and you faint. And they literally accused him of unrighteousness, allowing all of this to happen. God must be punishing you. Be careful when things happen in people's life that you don't immediately question their faith or start trying to find out where their so-called sin is. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Be very cautioned about that. I caution you tonight. Amen. For the same judgment we meet without can be meted back to us. Just, we don't condone sin. We don't condone compromise. We know there are circumstances that come into people's life because of compromise. But just be cautioned, because there was nothing wrong with Job. Fact is, his problem was his own righteousness. Not God's righteousness, but his own. Was his problem. Amen? In the sense of causing to be used as an example. All of this came on him, and then boils came on his body. Now he's in not only mental anguish, he's in heartbroken grief, but now his body is covered with boils. And he's in physical pain on top of that. And to add to all of that, his dear wife comes along. And she has something to say to him. Why don't you just curse God and die? And here's that perfection about Job. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And then a revelation of the resurrection, as strong as anything in the New Testament, came up out of him that God had granted to him. I know my Redeemer lives. And at the last day, I don't know about what's happening now. I don't understand or comprehend this. But it's not over till the last day. Can you say amen? See, a spiritual perspective will take you through the present. Amen. Paul said, I suppose the sufferings of this present world are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that is going to be revealed in us and to us on that day. Can you say, man? Sometimes you got to look to that day to get through this day. Can you say amen? How many know there's a day coming? There's a great day coming. On that great getting up morning, fare thee well, fare thee well. Praise God. There's a great getting up morning. There's a marriage supper. There's an eternity with Christ, age without end. And there's a glory that's going to be revealed on that day. Praise God. Hallelujah. Paul said, when I'm stoned and left for dead, I start thinking about that day. It brings me through this day. When I'm among false brethren, my heart is broken. I think about that day. Amen. When I'm beaten with rods, I think about that day. When I'm given 39 stripes, I think about that day. Can you say amen? When I'm in a shipwreck, I think about that day. Can you say amen? When I'm ready to lay my head down and let the man come down with the axe and take it off from me, I'm thinking about that day. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to think about that day to get through this day. We need an eternal perspective. We need a spiritual value system. Can you say amen? His peace cannot be bought with silver and gold, anything material. Amen. He has a peace to give you that passes understanding. He has a contentment to give you that nothing you can ever acquire in life can take the place of. Godliness with is what?
Great.
Say true riches.
True riches.
Because there are so many people that have, but they never have enough. They're always driven to get more. And it's that drive that tells me that they're held in a prison of want. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It doesn't just mean that he gives me the green pasture, he gives me all of these other things. It means that when the Lord is my shepherd, he fulfills me. And as long as I have food and raiment and him fulfilling me, I shall not want. He talked about him anointing his head with oil and his cup running over. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is so gracious tonight. I know my Redeemer lives. At the last day he will stand upon the earth, and not another shall see him for me, but I will see him in my flesh. I will see him. Though the skin worms eat my flesh, yet in my flesh I will see the Lord. And he began to pray for his friends who had accused him of unrighteousness. And when he prayed for his friends, God turned the captivity of Job. Not until he prayed for his friends. Can you say amen? You can't get bitter when you're in a trial. You can't just get mad at all the people who have persecuted you and hurt you and broke your heart if you really want to be set free. You've got to forgive. And when you forgive, you just turn God loose to bless you in spite of all that. Amen. He prepareth me a table in the presence of mine enemies. Praise God. Oh, if you want to really cause your enemies grief, amen, pull your chair up to God's table and feast on the good things of God. They hate it when they see you having a good time. Amen. Can you say amen? How many know they do? Oh, yeah, they want to get you to walk around like this all day because of what they did to you. They take real pleasure. But if you pull your chair up to the kings, every time they hear about you, well, how's old Brother Venable doing? Well, he's shouting victory every day of his life. Amen. Getting excited about evangelism. Praise God. Preaching the gospel. Amen. To the nations of the world over a little old radio station nobody ever heard of. Out of a little old church that nobody hardly ever heard of. What a God we serve. What a mighty, everybody say, what a mighty God we serve. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Job epitomized what God wants for his people. And that's a hard attitude that says it's all about you. Because anybody can go to God to get healed, to get blessed, to get their financial needs met. But if you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness so that all these things can take place, you don't just get the things that you need in your life, you get the God that you need more than anything in your life. Reigning, ruling, walking in fellowship. He's right in the middle of talking about husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, and as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Love your wife even as Christ loved the church. And he said, I'm going to show you a mystery here. I'm not just talking about intimacy between a man and a woman. I'm talking about Jesus Christ and his church. Amen? God wants to be intimate with you. He wants you to know him personally. He don't want you to just have faith formulas to get stuff. He wants you to know him. Because if you get all the stuff in the world ought to tell us something. There are people out there that have all the stuff. Brad Pitt is married to Angelina. They are the Hollywood power couple now. Used to be Demi Moore and Bruce Willis. But they're kind of aging. Have you noticed Demi and Bruce are kind of getting passe? And here's the new Hollywood couple. Yeah, they broke up on top of that. Anyway, Hollywood's always after more. They can't ever have enough. Can you say, man? Church needs to stay away from that attitude. It never doesn't satisfy the world. What makes us think it's going to satisfy us? The living water is the only thing going to satisfy us. Can you say, man? And oh, does it satisfy me? Praise God. There's nothing like it in all of the world. But you got to ask Him for it. You got to be personal with Him to get that. You ask of Him for living water. Can you say amen? So here's this new power couple, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie. Not long ago in Rolling Stone magazine, which I do not take as a periodical, by the way. But it was quoted on the web, an article out of Rolling Stone, legitimately out of Rolling Stone magazine, an interview with Brad Pitt. And he said, people think that I have arrived somewhere, that I have found it. People think because of my stardom, my wealth that has come as an actor, my allocations as an actor, the movies I've made, the all Brad Pitt has. I mean, he has this Hollywood image. I mean, he's got this athletic body. He's got all his hair. Can you say, man, he's got Angelina. He's got wealth. He's got fans that adore him. He's got movie contracts offered him for millions of dollars, and he has millions of dollars. And Rolling Stone is interviewing him, and they ask him, how does it feel to have all the accomplishments you have? He said, people think I've got it made. People think I've found it. And he said, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what it is. But I know that I haven't found it. Isn't that incredible for him to say with all he has? Yeah, isn't that an incredible statement? How many know what he needs tonight? How many has found what he really needs to be fulfilled tonight? That's why the Bible said if you've got it, i.e. him, amen, living within your heart and your life, praise God, amen, and you've got that living water flowing to you, having Christ and having him tell you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, this is forever. After this world is over, it's just beginning, it really kicks in, praise God. And you've got food and raiment in him and his commitment to you, therewith be content. For godliness, for we brought nothing into this world. We can take nothing out, but godliness with contentment is great gain or the true riches. Everybody say the true riches. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I know Jesus Christ tonight. I'm so glad I have him tonight. Can you say, man, brother, would you come? We're going to close right now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God wants intimacy. God wants intimacy. Praise the Lamb of God. Do all of your spirit. I just feel like there's people here tonight that need to drink more deeply. Amen. From the rich presence of God tonight. The Holy Spirit mediates the presence of God to us. In His presence, there's that satisfies the deepest longings of the soul. Fullness of joy. Everybody say fullness of joy. Whom having not seen you love with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Everybody say, joy unspeakable, full of glory. It's because of an intimate relationship. You love him. You love him. He loves you. Love is consummated. When the bridegroom and the prospective bride are brought together. She said, until I find him, I'm sick with love. My heart can't rest until I find him. Daughters of Jerusalem, have you seen my beloved? They said, we haven't seen him. Watchmen, have you seen him? We haven't seen him. The Bible said each time she went a little further. That's called a seeking heart. Can you say, man, you'll find him when you seek for him how? With the whole of your being, the whole of your heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. And she said, she went a little further, and I found him whom my soul loveth. And I embraced him. Can you say, man? You realize after the resurrection, what did Mary do? She went for him. He said, touch me not, for I have not ascended yet. Amen. And did it mean there was something about his glorified body that couldn't be touched by humans? I don't believe that, because he told Thomas just a little while after that to come and touch my scars and put your hand in the riven hole in my side. Amen. You know what? He knew about Mary. He's got work to do here before he ascends, and he's got to ascend. And if she got her hands on him after thinking she had lost him, you know what? He would have to just to get her off of him. Amen? Amen? Don't try to make something mystical out of something practical. Can you say amen? If she got a hold of him, she wasn't going to turn loose of him. She said, I grabbed a hold of him and took him to my mother's house. Can you say amen? I got a hold on him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You really got a hold on me. Can you say amen? You can tell I'm from the 50s. Can you say amen? God's got a hold on me, and I got a hold on God tonight. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I found him whom my soul loveth. Not just who my body needeth, who my life is dependent, but who my soul loveth. Yes. Used to sing that song, I looked for him and knew not what I looked for. I longed for him and knew not what I longed for. Then I found Jesus and I found what I was looking for. He filled this longing down in my soul. If the longing down in your soul isn't filled, nothing else you can get from God will ever satisfy you. Amen? God will bless you with great blessings, but it won't be satisfied, just like it isn't to the world. But when he is filling your soul, it don't take a whole lot to make you happy. Amen. Having food and raiment in him, in his fullness, you can be content. And boy, what a contrast that sets the church in to the world that is always looking, I've got to have that person. I've got to have that look. I've got to have that body. I've got to have that car. I've got to have that house. I've got to have that watch. I've got to have this and that to satisfy me. It doesn't satisfy. Several, and I'll bring the list just for clarification, but several of the richest men in the world have killed themselves in the last several months in a condensed period of time since the economic problems came to the world. Because when they didn't have the wealth, they had nothing in their heart. They were empty in their souls. Wealth can't fill. Material things can't fill that longing in the heart. But if they had had Christ, they would have had something, someone to live for. Yeah. And if they valued family, amen, and had their children, wife around them, amen. Listen, friend, amen. It's none of that matters if it isn't right in the heart. Right. So seek the Lord. Seek a relationship with him that is satisfying the longings of your heart. And all of these things that you have to, there are people that will compromise all the spiritual stuff to get more things in their life. Amen. They compromise all the time. Amen. They're people who won't give to the work of God so they can have a plasma television. They got to have the big TV, but they neglect giving to God. And you say, what kind of a value system is that? Amen. I'd rather give up at my cell phone. I love my cell phone. Amen. I'd rather give up the freedom phone. I'd rather have one of them old black phones with a cord on it. How many know it'll work? How many know the sucker works? You can actually talk to people over that thing. You can't be cool and talk to them, but you can talk to them. You can communicate with them. Then they work 7 days a week and drive a Cadillac and let my soul just go lean. What good would that do anybody? Hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm out of that rat race. Amen. This is about, what, the third week of being able to go back into the work of God wholeheartedly. Minister to my family. Brother Ben, you have a big drop in pay. You have to trust the Lord. Oh, it's so scary trusting God instead of that plant. With so many plants closing, I'm so glad I'm trusting God. Can you say amen? Isn't he good and isn't he gracious? He's never failed me yet. We got a little rock out there. Amen. And we decided, I'd preach that. Our first sermon here was about Ebenezer. Ebenezer stone, a memorial to God, and they wrote Ebenezer on it. Ebenezer means God is our help. The Lord is our help. And it's in the context in Scripture up until now. The Lord has been our help. So let's erect a memorial and put those words on it. A word that means that Ebenezer means the Lord is our help. And up until now, I can say the Lord has been my helper. And I don't know what's going to happen with the economy. The gas prices are starting to inch up again. I say praise God. I'm so used to saying praise God. I'm not praising. Well, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God. Amen. Praise God anyhow. Praise the Lord. He's going to make a way. He's God. And I'm young, as bad as I hate to say it. And now I'm old. I must be. I'm 62. Amen. When I was 30, that was old. So I must be there. I'm young and now I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken. And I've never seen his seed begging bread. Praise God. God is going to make a way for his people. Seek the Lord. Seek his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you, because your Father knows what you have need of. Can you say amen? But seek him. And he's going to take care of you and take care of me. Will you stand to your feet tonight? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:2, to close with, "For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I've espoused you to one husband," here's the intimacy again, "that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ." How can we, who have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, be presented, who have all committed spiritual adultery, every one of us, how can we be presented a chaste virgin unto Christ? Talk about the riches of his inheritance in the saints. We can only do that through the grace and mercy, the application of the blood of Jesus to our lives. But it's all about a husband and a wife, a bridegroom and a bride, a marriage supper is where we're called to. The first meal we sit down together with all the saints before us, amen, when we all sit down together to the first big celebratory banquet of victory, it is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is all about love. It's all about romance. It's all about intimacy. If you take that out of it, it's a pseudo gospel. It is designed more to meet felt immediate needs than the deep longings of the soul. Real revival doesn't come till people hunger for him exclusively above anything or anyone else in their heart and in their life. And I pray that you'll get a hunger for the living God, hungry enough to seek after him and to arrange your life in such a way that you are able to have time to seek the Lord and to be about your Father's business. We love you tonight. I want you to have godliness with contentment, because I want to see everybody in here have the true riches. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want to see everybody in here come in with victory. Everybody won't have it all the time, but amen, we go through our trials. Amen. I believe there can be a consistency even in the time of trial where we can have victory in the valley and we can still come in and worship our great King and watch him move in spite of everything. Would you join hands with one another tonight? God is taking us somewhere. Amen. The devil had me on a treadmill for several years. Just several years of just work, eat, sleep, preach, work, eat, sleep, preach. There was little time, little energy to seek the Lord. But the time is being made now, and the energy to seek him is coming back. And oh, what a wonderful, wonderful, amen, vision that he's given me for his design and his desire for what he wants me to lead people to do. Amen. I'm a last day preacher. I'm living in the last days. Amen. I want to point people toward Jesus now more than ever. I want to see people so fulfilled in Christ that that fulfillment, contentment, that joy in the Holy Ghost, amen, can cause them to look at us. Amen. And we may not be on the material or the financial level that they are, but they will look at us with envy and say, you know, I've got all of this, but I wish I had that. Amen. Because all of this isn't giving me what they have. Can you say, man, I wish I had what that preacher has on Sunday morning that makes him smile like he smiles. I wish I had in my marriage what they've got in their marriage that holds them together in a bond of love through thick or thin, mostly thin down through the years. Praise God. And that's even greater, amen, testimony to the greatness and the graciousness of our great God that has kept us down through these years. I want the joy that those people have. I want the peace that they have. Hallelujah. In a troubled time, they're rejoicing in their great God and they're confident in him, and they walk as men and women sons and daughters, children of the Most High King. They're not afraid of the future. Can you say, man, they're not bound up with fear? Praise God. Hallelujah. They're filled with faith and love, and they have joy unspeakable. It's full of the glory of God. Come on, Brad Pitt. Come to church one Sunday morning, and we'll show you where it is. Can you say, man, somebody give God praise in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him. You can leave if you need to. I just want to spend about 3 minutes in worship before we leave tonight. Don't you love the Lord tonight? Praise.